And EWN actually ran quite a disturbing story this morning about a group of Wits University students who have been caught up in what is essentially food insecurity at that university. Now, there have been denials around this, but we understand that this group of students was meant to have received some kind of funding from the Arts and Culture Department, but that there's a lot of toing and froing and it didn't come in time. And as a result of this, students were sleeping everywhere. They were they didn't have food. It was really a very, very upsetting story to start a Monday morning off with. But this is not an isolated incident. Students in South Africa at many tertiary institutions are having to deal with the same kind of thing. They leave home, they go away to a university. They're having to deal with, I suppose, what is an intimidating environment, because I remember that. I mean, arriving at this huge institution and all the processes and the mechanics of it are so much bigger than you. You're a tiny little cog in a very big wheel. And you get there and you've got to adapt to life as a university student, right? You're not being babied as you were at school anymore. It's each man or woman for himself. And then you've got to sustain yourself, because that kind of studying, the intense studying at university, requires a lot of hard work. But many kids are doing it on an empty stomach, and that's really such a disturbing thing. So we thought we would bring into the conversation someone who has written about this. He is Dr. Mark Vecherif. He's a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Pretoria. And he wrote an article a few days ago which caught our attention, called Food Insecurity: South African Universities Need More Attention. At South African Universities Needs More Attention. And we're going to bring in Dr. Vecherif now. Thank you so much for your time on the program this afternoon. This is probably one of the last issues that gets attention when we talk about the plight and the difficulties that many university students experience. Why is food insecurity not being given the kind of spotlight it deserves, Dr. Vecherif?
Yeah, hi, Joanne, and the listeners. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. And I think, as you're saying, I mean, for some reason, we don't seem to have enough attention on this really quite disturbing problem. And as you mentioned, it's certainly not an isolated incident. The incident this morning, it's a widespread problem. In fact, it's even an international problem. So a study at 34 colleges in the United States found that 48% of students there were experiencing food insecurity. And it was interesting to see that 57% of Black students were food insecure, compared to 40% of white students. Now, in South Africa, we find, we don't have enough information, not enough work has been done to understand the scale and nature of the problem. But the studies we do see are very worrying. University of the Free State did a study that found 64.5% of their students are food insecure. And in South Africa, what we see is that it's Black students, it's students from poor families, and it's students who are the first from their families in tertiary education who are the worst affected. So what we know then is that food insecurity at universities is perpetuating these sort of inequalities in society that are so problematic in South Africa.
Yes, yes. I'm looking at your particular reference to the University of KwaZulu-Natal, where you quote the figure of 55% of students from low-income families being food insecure. But I see that part of your reasoning for this is that that they come from very needy families indeed, and they make use of the limited resources they have to actually assist their family members, so they too don't go hungry.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is where the, especially children or young people coming who are the first from their families to make it into tertiary education are under enormous pressure. I think most of us should be knowing that in South Africa, if you come, for example, from a poor rural family and no one in that family has ever made it to college or university, when one child from that family gets there and they're studying in Johannesburg Wits or in Pretoria and so on, I mean, they're seen as having made it. And there's a lot of pressure on them. There's a lot of pressure to meet food needs. And suddenly they have a grant, which can sound like a lot at the time, but there's often not the understanding of the kind of pressures those students are under. So there's so definitely we come across students who are using the limited grants they get to help at home. Because what do you do if your mother's phoning you saying, look, your younger brother, we don't have, can't afford his school fees, or we don't have food in the home today? What are you going to do when you're sitting with that grant money in your account? So there's an enormous pressure on students, in addition to all the pressures, of studying at a university, being away from home.
Absolutely. And I see those who do actually feed themselves are going for the cheapest option, and that obviously impacts on their health.
Yeah, because this is not just a simple thing of people's bellies are empty. It's about our students getting a balanced and healthy diet that helps them perform at their best. And you know, when you're not eating properly, when you get inadequate nutrition and you don't have a balanced diet, that's going to affect your intellectual, physical performance and so on. So what you're seeing with this is that this is negatively impacting on young people, the students who are in tertiary education, who should be really our future leaders, professionals and so on, whose future ability is being undermined. This is a human rights issue. It's also a practical issue. We spend a lot of money on these students. If they underperform academically or they drop out because of hunger, then we're also, in a sense, squandering that money. And we'd certainly argue we should be putting in a little bit more resources, adequate resources, that students can feed themselves properly. And you know, you mentioned the situation of bits where certain money didn't come through. But even where students are getting, for example, the NSFAS grant, you know, which gives them what is equivalent at the moment of 1,200 grand per month. Now, 1,200 grand per month is not very much under any conditions to feed yourself properly. But for a student, many students living in accommodation where they don't have cooking facilities, they're not able to buy ingredients to cook for themselves. They're depending on cooked food. I've talked to students whose money is put onto a student card, and then the student card is only usable to buy food in certain outlets, and that's cooked food. So, you know, you see, I was talking to a young woman student the other day, and she was explaining that every day she has to make a choice of which meals to buy because it's simply not enough money to buy three meals a day in the places where she can use that money to buy. And I think we know the basics of sort of three meals a day would be a good start for good nutrition.
Absolutely.
If students are facing that kind of choice, even as they're sitting down trying to study and prepare for exams.
Dr. Vekharov, there have been some useful interventions at certain universities. I see that the University of Johannesburg has got a Stop Hunger Now initiative serving 7,000 meals a week. I see the Free State University allows for one balanced meal a day through the No Student Hungry program. Do we need this as a standard at all South African universities, given the socioeconomic backgrounds of many students?
Yeah, certainly there are a range of initiatives, but what we're arguing is that generally would be the fairly ad hoc. There's also charitable initiatives, food drives and so on. But people's right to food should not be depending on charity or in the fairly ad hoc kind of initiatives. So we'd link this to the right to food, which is in our constitution. Section 27 says that everyone has the right to have access to sufficient food. And this needs a law to give effect to it. It's a right in the Constitution, but the government hasn't yet passed any law giving effect to this right in the Constitution. And so this is a national issue for everyone. I mean, we have 1 in 4 5-year-olds in our country are stunted because of poor nutrition. It's not only a student issue, but students face particular challenges, and you would argue they're a particular vulnerable group that is not having their right to food met. And further, if we look at universities as state institutions, then surely the state has a particular obligation to ensure that the right to food for people who are essentially in their care is being met. So we'd argue for a systemic response that is ensuring that people have that right met, and going beyond, you know, the sort of ad hoc, even though some are good, interventions that we see at the moment.
Dr. Vekharov, thank you so much for your insight into that story. You've given us some really important food for thought, if you'll excuse the pun there. It's actually a very serious issue indeed. Dr. Mark Vekharov, having written that article in The Conversation about food security at universities, he's a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Pretoria.